your souls and let's say together, our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, this morning we receive revelation knowledge that is found in your Son. Precision, clarity, accuracy is ours this morning. There's no contradiction or error in his atmosphere. We behold him, your Son, as he sees us in him. He's glorified. We are edified. Amen. All right, cool. Quickly. 2 Timothy 3:15, we're looking at, is this spiritual growth? That's the question we have been answering. 2 Timothy 3:15, that'll be on a Concord speed. I should stop that Concord, right? I'm outdated. What should I be saying? Jetliner? You don't even know which one it is. 2 Timothy 3:15. Okay, that from a child, this is Paul to Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. That's the second scripture that fellow accused me of. Which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. In the first service, we looked at spiritual growth and we mentioned the characteristics of a child. We said one of them is how he talks and how he thinks. That a child that is spiritually speaking, his motives will be about himself. And we said that as you grow, love becomes your motive. Remember that? Love becomes your motive. How does the other person, how is he affected by what I'm saying or I am doing? And then we examine that. We just write this down, you know, just to remember. James 3:1-2 talks about the use of words, all right? And then in 18:19 talks about not using your words to curse. We said that. As a believer, you don't just say your mind. You know, I want to tell you my mind. Let me give you the peace of my mind. And sometimes the peace of your mind can destroy peace. Hallelujah. Bible didn't say speak your mind. It says renew your mind. Praise the Lord. Because if you say everything on your mind all the time, this world can come to an end. So it's best you just ensure that you renew your mind before you say what's on your mind. Okay, that's it. Look at that 2 Timothy 3:15 one more time. He says that from a child, now the word child here is the word brephos, B-R-E-P-H-O-S. You know, the different words for child in the Bible. This one refers to a newborn babe. You know, we have been looking at nepios. Nepios is infant. You have not grown beyond the stage. But this one is a newborn babe, which is spiritual. And the same word that Peter also used in 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So, in other words, he's telling Timothy, from the time you were, you know, you got born again, okay, and then you were as a spiritual child in that instance, he says, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now, to know there means to value. Okay, which is the word heido. It means to value something. You know, you can know something and not value it. So value is what he's saying here. You have known the Holy Scriptures. That is, you have come to appreciate the Holy Scriptures. So you value it. That is, you value the Scriptures. So you, from a child, you have valued the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Then in 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Then watch this. He says, it's profitable for quoting. What did he say? For what? For explanation. That's the word doctrine. Then he now breaks down the word doctrine for you. He says, for reproof. Reproof is persuasion. The same word you have in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, that's what persuasion, of things not seen. Then he says, that is, when the word of God is taught, the first thing is persuasion. Then he says, for in correction. The word correction there means the word epanathosis, you know it. It means to reset the mindset. Then the last one, which is the key word there, he says, for instruction in righteousness. That's an old word. The word instruction there actually means child training. The way you train up a child is the word padia. P-A-I-D-E-I-A in the Greek. It's used by Paul in Ephesians 6 and 4 when he says, Father, nurture up your children in the admonition of the Lord. So, in other words, what Paul is saying to Timothy here is that the scriptures are profitable for spiritual growth. So, again, in Hebrews 12, we'll come back to that later, verse 5, 7, and 9. He says, he uses the same word, for growth. So, in spiritual growth, Christ is the focus. Remember that verse 15? He says, salvation through faith, which is in Christ. So, in spiritual growth, Christ is the focus. 2 Timothy 3:16. So, the scriptures are not for quoting. The scriptures are not for emergency solutions. So, I say, can you give me 5 scriptures now? I need to go for an interview. I need favor. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Go and look at Luke 2:52. And Jesus, the child Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and he had favor with God and man. God and man. Said, I have favor with God. No, it's not like that. You learn the scriptures. You don't cherry pick scriptures. So that you will grow up. You will grow up. So, he says it's for salvation through faith in Christ. Then he mentions the fact that when you are taught, you are persuaded, then you are corrected, then you start to grow. Just like a child develops. Look at 1 Peter 2:2 again. We checked it last week. As newborn babes desire what? Okay. That is adolon, without deceit. Sincere milk. So a Christian cannot grow on false doctrine. Because he says it has to be sincere. Sincere milk is the word adolon. It means without tricks. Without deceit. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Grow into salvation. That's the word there. You grow into salvation. Again, don't forget that the Bible was not written in verses. And many times to get the truth of the scripture, you ignore the verses. Read everything together. Why would he say grow? Because in chapter 1, verse 3, he says you are born again into a lively hope. In chapter 1, verse 23, he says you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, which he calls the word of God. In verse 25, 1 Peter 1, he says it's the gospel. So having said, you are born again by the gospel. You are saved by the gospel. So in chapter 2, verse 2, if he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, what will be the word? The gospel. That you may grow thereby. Grow thereby, there's grow in salvation. So the meal of salvation remains the meal for spiritual growth. It's a meal. It's the same truth. Okay? You receive Christ, then you grow in Christ. Colossians 2:6. As you have received the Lord Jesus, even so grow in Him. So spiritual growth is not acquisition of years in Christianity. I've been born again since the day of Pentecost. That is in spiritual growth. You can be a Christian of many years, and your experience is the experience of a babe. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Are you in church? Very good. 1 Corinthians 3, 1. And I, brethren, could not speak, 1 Corinthians 3, 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, again, why did he say that? Because in the earlier chapter, he had described a believer. In verse 9, he says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, 1 Corinthians 2.
neither have entered to the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love. Obviously, that is a prophecy in Isaiah 64 verse 4. Which has been fulfilled today, okay, because you don't quote that anymore today. You don't say, I have not seen, he has not heard. That means you are not born again. Because the next verse says, but God, let's take verse 10 together, let's go. Now everybody, let's go. By his spirit, the spirit searcheth all things. Verse 10, verse 11, let's go. For what manner of man knoweth the things of a man, save, which is, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Verse 12. Now change that pronoun to I. Let's go. Now. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that I might know the things. So what have we received? Okay, look at the 13 now. Let's go. With things also, not with the world which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing what? So what does he call the believer here? Spiritual. Go on now. Let's see. But the natural man, 14, let's go. Okay, let's take it again. 14, let's go. One, two, go, let's go. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for there neither can he know them. So, who is the natural man there? The man that is not born again. Okay, let's take the next one. But he that is spiritual, So, who is he that is spiritual here? Is the born again man. Because the word here is pneumaticos, to come from the Spirit, to be born of the Spirit, or to be by the Spirit. So he says, now watch this, in 16, let's say 16 together. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have what? Say, I have the mind of Christ. Now, he has settled that you are born of God. You have the Spirit of God. You know the things of the Spirit of God. Then look at the dilemma in chapter 3. Having said that, he now says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Despite the fact that he described you as spiritual in the previous chapter, he said, but I couldn't communicate to you that. I couldn't. You know, he had said earlier in chapter 2 again, verse 13, he says, we compare spiritual things with the spiritual. So we can receive those things. But he said, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto what? Then he says, as unto babes in Christ. That is, I couldn't address you like people who were born again. That's what he's saying. Though I know you are born again. But I couldn't talk to you like that. We'll see that shortly. Why did he say that? Remember, let's go back to the four soils. The parable of the soil. The first soil is the one that fell by the wayside. Those ones came to church, they heard the sermon, but they didn't understand what was being said. They are not born again. The second soil, woo! They like the miracle. They like the signs and wonders. But when persecution and affliction came for the world's sake, just like Jesus' disciples. The third soil, they are born again, but pressures of life, lust of this life, crowd the world. Those that think that money can do everything. Simon the sorcerer. So can I sow this into your life? That you will give me this power. The guy had boldness. A new convert. That's the third kind. The fourth kind, look at it. He's the one that he says, he grows with patience. Matthew 13. So we said in the morning, spiritual growth is in consistency. It's not excitement. Matthew 13. Spiritual growth is the consistency. Matthew 13, 23. It says, it brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and it says some 30. 100-fold refers to a full-grown person. When you have a harvest, and it's a full-grown harvest, it's called a 100-fold. It's not times 100. It means full harvest. Everything comes in. So, he says it's gradual. Okay? It's gradual. 30, 60, 100. 100-fold.
So, spiritual growth, therefore, is a consistent application of the word. It's like, after that service, I just began to grow. I'm now growing. That's in the afternoon. You are just excited. So, Paul is saying, now, I couldn't talk to you. Why did he say that? 1 Corinthians 3. Because in chapter 1, he said, I have heard from the house of Chloe that there are divisions among you. You know, in the book of 1 Corinthians, almost to the last chapter, he was dealing with division. When you have a church and you always set me rift. He looked at me one kind. He greeted me, did not greet me spiritually, you know. Some guy said, he called me my name, he did not put brother. In church. And they're angry. And he has settled that. 15 chapters. 15. Paul was just writing. Some of you took yourself to court. Why now? Imagine those are the sermons every Sunday. Don't do it. You are born again. Don't do that. You just went to eat food offered to idols. There are some brethren that don't know. I don't care. Let them go and know the word. He's saying, no, you don't. And you see, and it's born out of selfishness. Selfishness. Remember I said in the first service, only a Christ-centered message can produce a Christ-centered life. If it's not Christ-centered, it can produce a Christ-centered life. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:1. He now says, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual. Now, of course, when you say as unto, that's a figure of speech, right? Huh? So it's a figure of speech. I couldn't talk to you. I know you are spiritual because if you are carnal, you are not born again. But I couldn't speak to you that way. I couldn't address you that way. He said, bro. Said, lip is anything aside, sir. Can you imagine? Have you heard that before? Some guy said, sir, can God just give me 10 minutes? 10 minutes to be myself? No. You are a new creation in Christ. That's who you are. That other one is borrowed identity. Say, I'm who the world says I am. Say, I walk in the Spirit. Effortlessly. If I walk in the flesh, it's a struggle. I said, if. I didn't say when. They say, thank you, Father. If I walk in the flesh, it's a struggle. Because you are born again. See, I'm born of God. So I couldn't speak to you. I couldn't talk to you as believers. But as unto carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ. Watch that. Now the word babes in Christ is a paradox. A paradox means something that looks like a contradictory statement, you know. Just like an oxymoron. It says, I couldn't speak as unto babes in Christ. Babes. Because he had just mentioned in chapter 1, verse 29 and 30, that Christ has been made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Christ is complete for us. But then he says, however, when I got to you, I had to understand your situation. I couldn't speak to you that way. I had to speak unto you as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Look at that term, babes in Christ. In chapter Ephesians 4:14. It says that you henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. So the word to and fro. Huh? What's to and fro? I told you, a child is always distracted. To and fro by every wind of doctrine. Because you usually get bored by Bible study. Is there nothing new? What's all this? Christ died for you. He rose from the dead. He lives in you. Walk in the Spirit. Let's have another dimension. Like what? The mystery. Help me out. Say no. Let's hear something else. First to and fro. By every wind of doctrine. That's what he said. So he uses the word nepios for people that are not stable. Again, Ephesians 4:14. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, when I was a child, look at that. I understood as a child. I thought like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Again, the word there is nepios. Infant. Like somebody who has ignorance. But look at something unique in 1 Corinthians 14:20. The same term, 1 Corinthians 14:20. Watch this. He now says, brethren, 1 Corinthians 14:20. He says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Right? The word friend, it means be not children in your decision making. But then he says, albeit in what? In what? Malice be children. Now you look at the use of words. That means when it comes to the word of God, grow up. When it comes to evil, be innocent. So that means the word children there, that's again, nepios, is used for innocence or ignorance. A lack of knowledge of it. So, he called them babes in 1 Corinthians 3 because they were not comprehending or walking in the Spirit. But he now asked them to be babes. Who's following what I'm saying here? In 1 Corinthians 14, when it comes to the flesh. But you know, sometimes some of us is the other way around. When it comes to the Spirit, things like this, we say, you know, I don't have the grace. When it comes to the flesh, you say, go and ask about me. In my father's house, go ask. You don't mess with me. Go ask about me. You say, brother, but you know, the Bible says, that's the Bible. Now I'm just growing. Whether you go ask about you. He says in understanding, be what? Men. Mature. But in evil, be ignorant. Be like a child. Now, quickly write this. Now, the word child, Jesus used it for an attitude. Attitude of ignorance. And it was positive. Matthew 11:25. How God hid the things of the kingdom from the wise and the prudent, and he showed it to babes. Matthew 21:16 and Luke 10:21. The same thing. A positive attitude. Now, of course, that was in contrast to those of this age, that day, the Pharisees who knew so much and they never knew the word of God. But since those who were children, in their attitude, God revealed the word to them. In Romans 2:20, he used it for the teacher of the law. Romans 2:20. In Galatians 4:1-3, he used it for being under the law. We're children under the law. Galatians 4:1-3. However, in 1 Thessalonians 2:17, he used it for himself and the apostles, how they were gentle, innocent, in the church. And they nourished up the church, and they behaved themselves among the church. In Hebrews 5:13, he used it for spiritual infanthood. So, that word can be used depending on the context of what you are dealing with. If you are dealing with evil, it says you should be a child. Okay? If it comes to an attitude to learn the word of God, you know, be hungry to know, okay? But when it comes to your conduct, it says you have to walk and appreciate the things of the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:1. You learning something? Verse 1. Look, watch this. He says, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, even as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. So the word babes in Christ I said earlier, is a paradox. It means when it comes to Christ and the realities of Christ, you are what? An ignoramus. You don't know anything. Even though you are born of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is in you, but you don't act like it. So he says, 1 Corinthians 3:1. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. That is the mode of communication. There's nothing that will hurt a pastor more than this. When, after all these years, bro, sis, and we are still telling you, don't do this. Don't do that. Stop paying you with meat. Not with meat. Now, he uses a term here, and I want you to observe that. Some folks will assume there's a part of the Bible called milk. No. He used the word potison to feed, which is a kind of communication. That is, what I would have told someone who is mature in a different way, I told you in another way. I'm saying the same thing. But my mode of communication to you is such that it requires me to go into so many examples. For example, Jesus used parables for people because they were unbelievers. He said so. And the same things in the parables, okay, was about himself. But he spoke to them in parables because of their level of understanding. But he was not contradicting the word of God by saying that. So when he says, I have fed you with milk here, is a mode of communication. Of course, the word milk is the word gala. Okay? Now, so the word milk is used for a mode of communication. Okay? And he uses a term here, pay attention, which the word gala is a word dissolves quickly. Quickly. It doesn't stay. You can't live on it. It doesn't stay. Why did he say this? These are men that are born again. He says, for either though you were not able to bear, neither are you now able. That is, now the problem is not when you were not able, when you first got born again. And, you know, they have to take you through things and you're, yes. 6 months. 1 year. 2 years. 2 years. 3 years. 4 years. You are saying, you know, I'm trying. I'm just trying. I'm trying. What are you trying? Say, you were not able. Then, neither are you now able. Why did he say that? Let's take verse 3 together. For you are what? Yet carnal. It's a very strong word to use for a believer. Because carnal here, the word sarkikos, it means you are from the flesh. That's strong. He's talking to believers. How would you say a believer is from the flesh? That's equal to say you are from the devil. But you see, Paul used this strong term, it's called oxymoron in English, where you say, when you look at a human being, because of what he has done, he's an animal. I didn't say you say that though. A human being is not an animal. But he must have done something that is like an animal. Why did you behave like that? So you're not calling the person an animal exactly. He's not one. But his behavior is that of an animal. So when Paul says, you are yet carnal, he tells you why. Let's finish up with it. For, let's go. Whereas, oh, let's go again. Come on. Let's take it again. Verse 3, let's go. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you what? Strife, divisions. Are you not carnal
And what? Walk as mere men, the Greeks would say. You walk.
Are you not carnal? These are things that the unsaved, they do. How can a Christian, born again Christian, in your heart of heart, I told you in the morning, if you attend this church for 6 months, 3 months, you cannot curse anybody. Am I right? You can't do it. Just 3 months. You can't even curse Boko Haram. Because you hear about Jesus. You can't. Why would you?
Because you are hearing about Christ. So he says, you walk as mere men. Men that have never heard about Jesus or don't believe. Now look at the word walk. Walk here is the word peripatao. It means to conduct yourself like. Look at Galatians 5:21. Are you still there? Galatians 5:25, sorry. If we live in the Spirit, do we live in the Spirit? Because we are born of the Spirit. The word live there is the word zaho, to come alive in the Spirit. We're dead. Now we are alive in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. Let us therefore what? Living in the Spirit, is that my work or God's work? Oh, come on, say that to me. Huh? I'm born of God, right? What did I do to that? Nothing. Okay? To walk in the Spirit, whose work is that? That's mine. I'm born of God. Yep. Glory to God. So let us therefore what? Walk in the Spirit. Now, he changes the term here, Paul. I don't know why. But obviously, he used the word stoicheo, which means a step. Because he's talking about love. A step. The right step. In Ephesians 5:1, he says, be ye followers of God as their children. He uses the word mimetos. It means to act like somebody will do. Now, you do drama. And if they come and act, who should I ask you to act? Come on. Somebody tried to ask me, is it Pastor Ayo that tries it all the time? I always tell him he has 60%. He tries to act the way I will act. And they'll be doing all sorts of things. I said, it is not me. But he said, to act like God will mean to do what God will do. Be ye followers of God. It's not to follow God like this. It means to mimic, to do what he will do. Some version says, be ye imitators of God. The same word. As their children. He says walk in love. Don't say walk in love. Why? If God were to be in your position, he will walk in love. He says walk in love. So the walk is my call. 1 Corinthians 3 again, get back there. Paul says, you walk as mere men. You walk as mere men. A mere man. You are not mere men, praise God. See, I'm born of God. I'm born of the Spirit of God. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. I've been washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord. Praise God. That's nice. That's great. But it's time to walk in that reality. Praise God. It's time to walk in that reality. He says, you now walk as men. The same thing, look at James 1. That James says in James 1:21. He says, laying aside. You know, he said, you cannot grow spiritually if you don't lay aside. Hebrews 12:1 says to lay aside. 1 Peter 2:1 says to lay aside. Ephesians 4:25 says to lay aside. You lay aside. You lay it aside. He says, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. What do? Receive with meekness the engrafted word. The word engrafted, there's the word emptos in the Greek, E-M-P-T-U-T-O-S. It means natural. Natural. Implanted. The engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Or which has saved your soul is a better way. Now, why would he say the engrafted word? Look at verse 18. Of his own will, what? With what? With what? So, we are born of what? The word of truth. That we should be a kind of the first fruits of his creatures. So, if we are born of God, we are born of his word, right? Come on, we are born of his word, right? So, he says, you will not receive, you will not take a hold of that same word with meekness. You will accept it. You first of all accept who you are. You are not sanguine or sardine. Say, you know, in my family, that's how we are. That's how we are. We don't take nonsense. My great grandfather was a polygamist. My great grandfather was a polyestigamist. My grandfather was a help me out. What is after poly? What do you have? University gamist. So is in our blood? No. No. Praise the Lord. Are you there? I'm what he says I am. I'm who he says I am. He says, you receive with meekness. You accept who you are. Accept what God has made you in Christ. Accept it. If a couple who understand this, they will say, but you knew me now when you married me. You don't know me. Well, ask my classmates, they'll tell you. That's how I am, oh. I'm trying to get something to say. You can help me out. Can you help me out? I don't. You are pretending like you don't know what to say, right? No, you don't say that. You are now in Christ Jesus. Now are we in Christ. Hallelujah. So you have to accept it. Then look at 22. Be ye doers of the word. See, I'm a doer of the word. And not hearers only. The word hearer is the word akrotis. You know it. Akrotis, K-A-K-R-O-A-T-S. It's like going to watch a game. Going to watch a football game. You know, if you go to watch a football game, you're just like a fan. You just get excited. Wow! Or you go and watch Wakanda. Then you now listen like this. Alright, this is. Yeah? Wakanda forever. I think that thing has stopped now, right? What is raining now? Some believers, they are always calling. You know, kind of. Just call them. What is raining now? Ah, Pastor, that was yesterday. They don't know what to do. What was the sermon last week? God is good. No. What did they preach on Sunday? Jesus Christ. No, it'll have been Satan. And ask to somebody who is just there. He's just there to view. Wow. He doesn't see himself in what you are saying. So when you present, tell them. Who are them? What? What do you think you are? So a brother like that in church I passed some 20 years ago. The guy was preaching. He said, preach it! Down there! He was just shouting. Woo! Ooh! You think somebody was pinching him? Hey! 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 Yay! You know, Pastor Lan used to be like that. Pastor Lan was there, He still does it once in a while. He said, So one day I asked him, I said, do you have throat problems? He's not here. So this is people speaking, right? You know. So the guy said, yes! Nothing like that, after 20 minutes of sermon, you'll sleep up. So I now said, brother, I waited for 15 minutes. I said, come, Brother Philip. What did I say? When you said, preach it. He was not scratching his head. I said, you are the best example of a carnal Christian in the Bible. You don't listen with your mouth.
How can you be in a class and say, hey, lecture?
Tell her.
Who?
Be ye doers and not a fan.
Or the pastor is preaching. You just turn to your wife. Can you hear it now?
Submit.
One time like that, I was talking to a couple and I said, ensure that when you read the Bible and you are a wife, don't read the part for husband. When you are a husband, read the part for wife. No. When you see husband, love your wife, stay there. When you see wife, don't read it. Because you are not a wife and husband together. Busy yourself with the one that talks to you. And our coaches will say, that is sermon. You now take the sermon and say, I want my friend to hear this. That behavior he has to change today. That is a hearer of the word only and not a doer. Then he says, deceiving yourself. Now, he used another term here, James, is the word paralogizomai. You know it already. It means to put aside an account or to act differently. What do you mean by act differently? Have you ever acted, how many of you acted dramas here before?
You raise your hand. Which one?
Why did you act? Sincere.
Then I ask you, you don't have a cow.
They say you come and act big man. And then they give you agbada. It's not your agbada, they give you agbada. They give you a brand new car, Mercedes Benz, 2019 model. You now sit down there. You now talk to somebody else who probably has a car, but in the drama, he's your driver. So you say, driver, move! Then when they are done with the drama, and everybody is trying to go, you go back into the car. You say, yes? You say, driver, move! They say, bring your head, let me give you a knock. That means everything you did before was not you. After the film, reality will beckon on you. When you go on Marwa. So the point is, in the same way, when you hear the word and you are not doing the word, whatever you do after is like a drama. Because you are born of the word. The word is our natural habitat. So he says, deceiving yourself. Then James now gives an illustration. He that is a hearer only is likened unto a man who beholds what? Are you there? Who beholds what? His natural face where? In the mirror. Then he says, woo, glory! He confesses the word in the service. He lifts his hands. Oh, he says, let me give you an idea. You are, no. I'll give you another one. He says, give me a song. You don't even know the song I want to sing. Okay. Down in my heart, the love of God is fully shed abroad. And then he's singing that song. He says, wow, I'm in fellowship with the Father. I have the nature of God. I'm a son of God. Then you get to the car park. And somebody scratches the side mirror of your car. Who did this? Somebody says, sorry, bro. Sorry what? Your entire family, can you buy this? All this is because Christianity has put us all together. If I didn't know Christianity, you think you and I will be in the same anything? Down in my heart. Emoji. So I'm a doer of the word. I'm not a fan. So when you come to God, it's not to be entertained. It's to hear God's word. And to act on it. Look at what he says. He's likened to a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. And straight away. He forgets the manner of man he was. That forgetting is not memory loss. It is the Greek word. I'll spell it for you, because my mouth will twist if I try to pronounce it. E-P-I-L-A-N-T-H-A-N-O-M-A-I.
E-P-I-L-A-N-T-H-A-N-O-M-A-I. It means you are not considering it. Look at Philippians 3:13. When Paul says, forgetting the things that are behind. Do you know that it's not that he forgot those things? He listed everything from verse 3 to verse 8. I'm an Hebrew of Hebrew, Pharisee of Pharisees. He didn't forget them in his memory. But he says, I counted them what? Dung. I'm not going to consider them. That's the word forget it. The same word, Hebrews 6:10, God is not forgetful of your labor of love. Hebrews 13:2, do not be forgetful to entertain strangers. And Hebrews 13:16, it means you are not considering it. You know the verses, you know the scriptures. In fact, you can preach it. Some guys are wonderful preachers. They will explain it. Context, pretext, post-text. They'll give you the Greek word, the Latin word, the Yoruba term. See what? The guy can preach. Then, after the sermon, then now the reality begins. You see the attitude. So he says, that man has forgotten. You know, sometimes a teacher needs to hear his own counsel. Sometimes when I talk to some of our leaders and they tell them, I said, what would you have told a member of your church who has this question, this same issue? Shall I have told him to pray? Listen to yourself now and go and pray. Because sometimes you can be a signboard. You know, somebody who is not a doer of the word can preach and bless others. Are you aware of that? Because God's word will work even if you don't believe it. But why would you be a signboard? So, you must make a decision to be a doer. And not hearers only, James says, deceiving your own self. So, spiritual growth is when I begin to consider who I am in Christ in my daily living. In salvation, Christ comes into our heart. In spiritual growth, Christ finds expression through us. In salvation, I receive Christ. In spiritual growth, I give my life to Christ. In other words, he begins to find expression. Expression. I put away childish things. The writer of Hebrews, watch this, brings this reality to us. You know, Hebrews 2:10 says he has brought many sons to glory. Let me just run through that. Hebrews 5:9, you know, Hebrews 2:10 says he perfected us. Hebrews 5:9 talks about that perfection. Watch this. Hebrews 7:9 talks about the law couldn't perfect, and Hebrews 7:28, just run through that in your own. Hebrews 9:9, Hebrews 10:1 says the law couldn't perfect anybody. Hebrews 10:14 says we have been perfected forever. Hebrews 10:14. Hebrews 11:40 says the Old Testament saying without us could not be made perfect. Hebrews 12:23 says the spirits of the just men made perfect. Now let me go over that again. Hebrews 2:10, we're perfected as sons. Hebrews 5:9, perfect salvation. Hebrews 7:19, well, perfect savior. Hebrews 7:19, the law couldn't perfect. Hebrews 7:28, the same thing. Hebrews 9:9, the law couldn't perfect. Hebrews 10:1, the law couldn't perfect. Hebrews 10:14, we are perfected forever by the sacrifice of Jesus. Hebrews 11:40, he says that the Old Testament saint who waited for Christ could not be perfected without us. Hebrews 12:23 says the spirit of the just man made perfect. Yet, the writer of Hebrews, having said all that about being perfected, he goes in Hebrews 13:20. The same person now says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. That great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13:20. He says, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, he makes you perfect. Can you imagine that? He has said you have been perfected. Now he says he will make you perfect in every good work to do his will. working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He begins to pray, and the word he uses here is similar to what Paul used in Ephesians 4:12. Katatizo. It means a full distinction or a full demonstration. To make someone fit for work. He says, yes, you're perfected. Yes, you are sons. But God will yet perfect you. God will yet mature you. God will yet make you fit. Same word he used in Hebrews 10:5 and Hebrews 11:3. To do his will, walking in you. Two words he uses together, poihio, it means it's an active term. This is in your activities. It's not good enough for your name to only be in the book of life. Huh? I'm born again. Your salvation is only in the book of life. Let your salvation too be in you. Let it also be in your everyday living. So he says here that he will walk in you. And he begins to talk about how you will be mature to be fit. In Hebrews 12, watch this. In verse 5, he has said something earlier. Having said all the beautiful truths of redemption, all the beautiful truths of the new covenant. Then he says in verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children, as unto sons. My son, despise not what? Come on. Nor faint when you are rebuked of him. Remember that word we saw earlier, 2 Timothy 3:16. For instruction in righteousness. That's the same word here. This is not salvation now. This is growth. In this you will have correction. You have instructions. Then he says in verse 6, to whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. In verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with what? Sons. For what son is he whom the father doesn't chasten, doesn't correct? If you be without chastisement, wherefore are you partakers? Then are you bastards and not sons? Now, do you know that the writer of Hebrews is using almost the same language that Paul used? That if you can't take correction, then we'll deal with you like you're a bastard. Now, are they bastards? Are they sons? But the moment you despise correction, what are you acting like? Like you're not a child. Instructions. Instructions. Some guys like the goody goodies. Oh, I'm now made righteous in Christ. Oh, God give me the gift of forgiveness. Woo, glory. The Holy Ghost is in me. Then Paul says, walk worthy of the Lord. Then he starts sleeping. Hallelujah. Put away lying. Put away anger. That's what he said. First three chapters in Ephesians, who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ. Second three chapters, as it were, I think it's deliberate by the translators. You know how now walk what? Now stand. Praise God. Having done all to stand therefore, be strong in the Lord. If you are going to grow, you will have to take heed to the instructions. You don't say, Christ has prayed for me. Where? I've been prayed for by Christ. Hallelujah. He's just praying always. Instruction. That's an active term. So spiritual growth is not passive. Say spiritual growth is not passive. It's active. Say again, spiritual growth is not passive. It's active. You cannot grow spiritually unconsciously. I didn't even know I'd grown. No. It's by activity. So they are active terms. 2 Peter 3:18. He says, grow in grace. Make progress. Oxano. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. So in spiritual growth, you make changes. So when you call someone a babe, you are referring to his conduct. Your conduct. So nepios, which is a babe, is in a person's conduct. Go again to 1 Corinthians 13. You learning something? 1 Corinthians 13:11. Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away what? Childish things.
We said the other time,
the first thing about a child is unstable. We thought about that. He's unstable.
A child loves authority, but not responsibility. Have you tried to drive your dad's car when you were young? But would you love to work to buy one? No. Even when they wake you up early in the morning, you feel like, why has God given me this kind of parent? 5 o'clock. But they are going to work to get the car. You want the car, but you don't want the responsibility. Sometimes as a child, you even act daddy and mommy. Like you don't know what I'm saying. But it's time to go to work? No. You love the authority. You don't like the responsibility. Children are like that. Children also always like attention. They seek. They like help. Help me. Help me. Help me. They help you to. They help you to get saved. At least they preach to you. Help you to get filled with the Holy Ghost. They laid hands on you. You are still being helped to come to church in the morning. And a full grown person, they come to check you. Don't forget today is church. Oh, that's true. What time is it again? Something you came for last week. Oh, 7:30. Ah, I'm not sure I can make that 7:30. Check me again by 10:45. Do you if we focus on you after 8 months, 1 year in Christ, all the feeding bottles are exhausted. Have you known some people like that? After every service. Can I see you, sir? You now sit down. You now be talking and talking and talking and talking. And when you finish hearing them, it's because they were not listening in church. You now say, like I said 2 weeks ago, hey, you said so, sir, in church. Okay, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. We pray for them. The week after, can I see you, sir? Sir, like I was saying the other week, before you prayed, even after you prayed. The weeks after, sir, this is not going to take your time. A child. Someone told me, he said, sir, I just need a quick answer. I said, I'll give you God's word. He said, sir, don't you have a very key scripture? Just tell me, I'll find it. I said, no. Go and listen to this series. Series? He said, one fellow told me one time, the guy in America, he said, sir, when you say go and listen, this thing sounds very long. Don't you have short ones that go straight to the point? He's not ready to go. He's in the service. He likes the praise worship part. Ah! He takes off his shirt. Let's do it. He will dodge the prayer part. He will claim his car, he has with the traffic. But enter the praise worship. Yeah. As someone is starting, as soon as he said, praise the Lord, the teaching today is going on spiritually, he looks at his wristwatch. At the beginning. Hi. I know this man. One and a half hour. He is still talking. 2 hours. Hello. Yeah. Service is over. Say, is that all? Prayer, worship, the word, announcement, first timer, give, go home. Is there nothing else? At least to side attraction. To keep, you know, don't even have spiritual things alone. Let's keep all the things together. This same guy won 2 World Cup games yesterday. Two of them not too good. One of them not too good. One of them was the will of God. He will still watch today. He will still go and visit people. And he still wants us to have his entertainment in church. You have enough now. You brought Questy TV, DSTV, Go TV. Eh? I don't know what, eh? Star TV, Moon TV. You have all those things. You want us to give you Christ TV? No, 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 no. Do that in your house. Praise the Lord. For a child, say, prayer, prayer, prayer. I'll just, he's a child. You can have a full grown person who is spiritually a child. A child loves attention. He always seeks for help. Whereas Paul says, let those that are strong bear the infirmities of the weak. If the pastor is always talking to you, 2 years, 3 years in Christ, 4 years, when would he have time for somebody else? There was a time like that, I told one of your pastors, see this person, I said, abandon him. Yes, sir. Abandon him. Spend time with other people. He will come. Someone was telling me one day, I said, look, you have attended Holy Ghost Street. How many? He told me. What else? How many? He told me. Camp meeting. Church. I said, I'm not going to advise you again. Are you the only one in the body of Christ? You're not the only one in the body of Christ. I said, sir, I'm just angry. He said, whatever you want to do, do quickly. Quickly, don't do it tomorrow. Do it now. Jesus came to the disciples and said, pray within 1 hour. He said, ah, master, we die here. We die here. We die here. As he went, he slept back. He came second time. Ah, master, that was a mistake. But this time around, simply devoted, we'll pray. The third time he came, he now got up. Blah, 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 blah. He said, don't worry. Can you imagine God saying, sleep on? Ah. That time is past. Sleep on and dream. Learn to take instruction. Spiritual growth is in instructions. A child, we said, likes authority, but not responsibility. He likes attention. Some guys are just attention seekers. If, for example, you identify people in church and say, we thank God for some folks who were around yesterday and they helped out. And you mention some names. Brother so-and-so, brother this, brother that, and all that. And then, you don't mention their name. From that point, or maybe second service. Pastor will still mention my name, second service. Second service, they don't mention your name. They will say, let's worship the Father. As the dead for. He will still mention me during the announcement. What a soul, my soul. Service has ended. Say, greet 10 people. How? Just say, are you rushing home? I have something to do quickly. Then he just calls a friend. You know, I don't know what's happening to these churches of these days. A man of God should be sensitive now to the leading of the Spirit of God. You know, and he just wants attention. What if nobody recognizes you? The man who is growing knows he's serving Jesus. I tell a lot of pastors I relate to, I said, I preach because I know God is alive. Why did I say that? Because I know that I will have to give account. So, if you know you have to give account, your focus will never be your audience. If you know you are going to give account, your focus cannot be your audience. When people invite me to come and preach, I tell them, I'm going to preach what I believe. You might not believe it. I'm not going to cause division in your church, no doubt. But I'm going to preach what I believe. I'm not going to preach what you want to hear. Because I will have to revert to Jesus whether I preach the word. You see? So if you are serving the Lord, your mind should be on Jesus. He's the one ultimately that we serve. Thank God for saints coming to church where it's an expression for your service. But it's beyond this place. Jesus is the chief shepherd. And so you must always know that I don't even believe in human accolades. They are not reliable. So forget recognition. I've seen people to tell me, oh, Pastor, Jesus Christ showed me your picture. He said, I should follow you. He said in 1991, in 1644, he showed me, and I said, ah, that's good. You will think that, brother. You will see him the next day. It's from the next day that you see the Jesus Christ is talking about. But why would that discourage you? You did not serve the Lord for such things. That's why we don't do awards. We don't do it. We recognize people. But I know the ultimate rewarder is God. Praise God. But children want immediate attention. So a child, he wants you to address him immediately. Children also, I told you earlier, they get distracted easily. Easily. So in spiritual growth, you begin to watch those things. I thought like a child. Also, watch this. I said children love to be seen as adults even though they don't want the responsibility. Did you do this when you were in secondary school? I'm talking about men now. Okay, I know about girls too. You try to put spirit here. To have bear. When I was in secondary school, when I entered secondary school, you know the story, I was shocked that a secondary school student will have beards. I said, so as a child, you want to put beards? And I want to put beard. As a girl, you want to quickly use makeup and wear high heels. But are you ready for the responsibility of high heels? Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say is, don't just like positions. They come with responsibility. You want people to call you pastor. Hey, PJ! PD! PS! PA, that's PA. PA! PM! Are you ready to be available for people all the time? No. They all have the Holy Ghost. But you want the position. So, children love authority without responsibility. Don't forget that. So Paul, he screams in Galatians 4:19. He says, my little children, whom I travail at birth again, till Christ be formed in you. Uses the word morpho, M-O-R-P-H-O-O, used for behavior. It's a verb. Galatians 4:19, I travail at birth. These are guys who are born again, but it's almost like you are starting again. You are starting again. Till Christ be formed in you. So in spiritual growth, we lay aside all these childish tendencies. One other thing about children, they put everything in their mouth as food. One of the proof of growth is discernment. Ephesians 4:14. No longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You have discernment. You say, It's not true. It's not so. It will look like arrogance, but it's not arrogance, it's maturity. But when you put everything in your mouth as food, you read every Christian literature, okay? And you believe things that are contradictory, and you say glory to both. You are just a child. You grow up. You don't put everything in your mouth as food. You don't get excited by everybody who shouts, finish work of grace, finish work of grace. Listen very well to what is finished though. So you don't get finished with it. You listen very well.
One other proof, listen, we said that early in the morning, that a proof of growth is ministry. You serve just like Jesus.
Son of incarnation is a ministry, or he's a minister in redemption. At incarnation, he's God in the flesh. But on the cross, he's a servant. He came to die. Matthew 20:28. To be a ransom for many. Philippians 2, Paul, verse 6 and 7 says, he made himself in form of a servant. He was obedient to death. That's growth. You're a son, no doubt, that's never going to change. But in growth, you start to serve. And when you serve, it's not about you. It's not about you. Jesus did not consider who he was. He just served. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about attention. Many times he'll tell people after a miracle, tell no man. Why did he say all that? He wasn't seeking attention. So in growth, a proof is service. You begin to be available for others. In Acts 6:3, How did Paul get there? In Acts 6:2 and 3, the apostles say, look among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So we will know you. Spiritual growth is not eating in your room, it's open to all of us. You serve. Are you there? Are you following this? So, is spiritual growth in your conduct? Dr. Mitchell? It's in your conduct. It's in what you do. Salvation is not in what you do. But the proof of salvation is spiritual growth. Alright? 1 Corinthians 13:11 again. He said, I spoke as a child. You know, there's a way you talk like a child. You use words foolishly. You speak as a child. That means you are not thinking through what you are saying. You're not thinking through. Before you get there, let me just add a few things. Children get hurt easily. They get irritable quickly. Some guys are just irritated. And it's a walk of the flesh. So, get this. I'll come back to that later. So, you speak childishly. Your use of words. Like Jesus told his disciples, he said, all fools, or better say foolish, Luke 24:25, slow of heart, foolishly. What do you mean by foolish? To talk without reasoning through. Why did you say that? You know, a Christian who is walking in the world doesn't say, I don't care what anybody says. Huh? How can you say you don't care what anybody says? Anybody? Yes, anybody. Anybody. That is foolish talk. And it can only come from a child. So that means as you grow, you are slower in how you talk. James 1:19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he says, be slow to speak. Right? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man doesn't walk the righteousness of God. The proof of a child is that he's loquacious. He talks a lot. He talks all the time. Go to Proverbs 10:19. You learning something? Some guys don't know how to keep quiet. They're always talking. There's even no time to think. Proverbs 10:19. Let's take it together. Are you there? Come on, guys. Are you there? I'll wait for you. Let's go. All right. I'll wait for you. Are you there now? All right. Let's go. In the multitude of words, there was not seen. But that, is wise. If you talk, you will sing. Always talking. You're on the phone 4 hours. You drop the phone, you continue another gist. You get back on Facebook, then Instagram. You're always talking. Because you'll be tempted to exaggerate. To say, when you talk so much, you will speak evil of someone. you exaggerate, you will lie. Because it's a called multitude. Look at verse 20. The tongue of the just is as a choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little what? Let's take verse 21 together. The lips of the righteous feeds many, but fools die for want of wisdom. You talk stupidly, foolishly. Talk properly. Don't speak out of anger, for example. Deal with the anger first. The Bible says, do not be angry. Don't sin. Don't be angry. Don't sin. Ephesians 4:27. The King James says, be angry but sin not. But that's bad syntax. Should be, sin not and don't be angry. That's what he said. That was in the original language. Because anger is a sin. But it's only anger. Come here, let me hug you. It's not only anger. You were angry. It's called rage. It's called a work of the flesh. So you watch what you say. Are you there? Are you there? You watch what you say. When you grow, one of the things, when you grow, you start to value what you say. I taught you this at Workers' Convention, that the greatest tools for the devil, just like it's for God, are words. God uses words to save, to heal, to cast out demons, to deliver. Satan uses the same words for unbelief, doubt, hatred, and strife. You must watch what you say. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. You don't have to say anything. You watch what you say. Watch your reaction. The way you react tells you how much you are growing. How much you are growing. Because one of the proofs of spiritual growth is tolerance. You are able to tolerate others. Your marriage, in your relationships with people, it is selfishness to always want to have your way all the time. You are tolerant. I'm not saying to tolerate false doctrine or false teaching. But you see, you can, Paul says in Romans 14, receive some people in spite of what they believe that's different from yours without this disputation. Somebody doesn't believe what you believe. He's not born again. Relax. Receive them without doubtful disputation. So in spiritual growth, you discover that the way you talk has changed. You now talk with measured words. Ephesians 4:29, learning something? Watch this now. Paul, let no, someone say no, corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, of course, there is a corrupt communication that people think this means. For example, some people use the F word. The F word. The F word is horrible speaking. It's actually dirty language. But that's not what he's saying here. The word corrupt communication here is from the Greek word sapros. It means that which affects others. It's not you that corrupts, it's others. That's why I said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what? Grace. So it's about what you say to who? Others. What you are about to say, is it going to edify? If it's not going to edify, shut up! If some of us hear the Holy Ghost very well after we have spoken in tongues, he will say, shut up. Say nothing. Say nothing. In relationships, in the church, say nothing. You will say nothing. Let it not come out of your mouth. But that which is good for edifying. Will this build the church? Will this build the body of Christ? Will this allow someone else to pray, to walk in the Spirit? Children use words anyhow, but as you grow, you put away childish things. You learning something here? Chapter 5, verse 4. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Foolish talking, the word filthiness there, is the word improper speech. Foolish talking. The word foolish is a very different word here. It's the word morologia. M-O-R-O-L-O-G-I-A. It means to talk without learning. You are talking like someone who doesn't learn the word. Who hasn't learned the word. How can they? I told you one time like that. A sister was in our church. Anybody? Someone told something. No, that's not the right word. She was looking for a cassette player in those days. And then she just went around Idia Hall then, in UI. She just said, I declare, if this thing doesn't come back in the next 1 hour, the blood will flow. Ah. If I'm not a child of God. And she says all sort of things.
Cassette player.
So I saw her, and I said, assuming her name is Janet, I don't want to mention the name. As I saw her, her hair was like this. Like she has gone for spiritual warfare. So I said, as if her name was Janet, I said, please, where is Janet? Sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. I said, go and be a Christian and come back. What's this? See, a Christian remove his shirt in public space. It's a good fight of faith. No, brother. You are born again. Hallelujah. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Then he says, or jesting, jokes, which are not convenient. The word jokes there is the word low jokes. It's not wrong to be humorous. I was brought up under people who were humorous, but they don't say low jokes. You don't, sometimes I'm in meetings and people make sexual jokes. You don't go, stop it now. Something's wrong with you. Oh, you know, I'm a Christian. I don't want to hear this kind of thing. You know, it's not good. You don't go. I have to walk in the spirit. You guys should stop it. You know, huh? No. Say low jokes. They are jokes you shouldn't make. Don't make jokes about death. Don't make jokes about sex. Don't make jokes about people's evil happening to others. That's not the kind of joke you should make. Make jokes like, Messi scores no goals next 2 years. Make jokes like Chelsea will be in Division 2. Things like that are healthy. Why are you laughing? You say, don't joke foolishly. Don't use sickness. Ah! I thought you had Tidiweya. I thought you had Kwashoko. No. Sickness is evil. Alright? Don't use your joke. You are growing now. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Use your words rightly. If you know your words, how many of you got born again because somebody preached to you? Come on, let me see your hand. Or you got born again on the road to Damascus. Let me see your hand, come on. Someone preached to you? Fine. You got filled with the Holy Ghost, somebody ministered to you. Good. You got healed because someone ministered to you as well and used words. That's the power of words. If you knew words had such spiritual content, then use it well. The same way somebody would inspire fear in you by what he said or what she says. So you will watch your mouth. So as you grow as a child of God, you also grow in your use of words. Say my words, be edified. Say like me, say my words, be edified. So you watch your words. Evil speaking will be found when you talk so much. Evil speaking means to speak about people's faults, alright, weaknesses when they are not present. To speak about people's faults and weaknesses when they are not present. That's evil speaking. You also have vain speaking. Vain speaking is when you make a boast of what you have, what you own, or what you can do. I have, like the rich fool in Luke 12. I have this, I have that. Only a Christian that doesn't know the gospel properly makes boast of material things. We are warned not to in all the epistles. Vain speaking is a proof of childishness. You know, and you'd like to show up. Go on Instagram. You show your shoe. I see you. No, you don't show it directly. But that's where you are going. I told you last week. Someone went for a holiday for the first time in America with his wife. He was doing contract job here in Lagos. in Abuja. So as he got to the U.S., the first time, you know, the people that, you know, when they were going to the embassy, they were wristband, Jesus Christ is with me. You were really praying and praying. They now gave you. You now go to America. And the wife now put pictures all over the social media. We are in Disney World. We are here. Contract staff. As they got back to Abuja, they had relieved him of his duty. Say, why now? Say, you're already rich. You are bigger than a contract. If you don't show that picture, will they deport you? Must you show it? Because you want to show off. Don't show off. Vain. They're just vain. Vain. When you see a vain Christian, everything he will say will be what he has, what he has become. But when you see a growing Christian, he'll be talking about service. And when he's done, he will inspire you to serve. Evil speaking, we have to put it away. Also, let's close here. Arrogance. Arrogance. Arrogance of possession, arrogance of position. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. You know high-minded? I explained it to you. You used to be in operations. Well, you are now in operations. No operations. Operations is a department. Operations. And you'll be there faithfully. Sister Tinu and you see on Saturday. Some people are long-standing operation member. From Thorburn to 378 to here. Till the end of the age. Now! You are now made the MD of a bank. You don't come on Saturdays again. You know you're a busy man. When you come on Sunday, you come for second service. Middle of the sermon. And then you walk in. When you walk in, the train of your robe will fill the temple. Your perfume, you know the kind of perfume that it would bury every perfume available. See the glory of God. They are coming. Hallelujah. So when we prayer meeting on Tuesday, say, you know, I'm not available. I walk. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to give. If you're a pastor and you don't like that kind of sound, something's wrong with you. Well, yeah, I'm going to give you say, bless you, brother. But you see, he doesn't need that. He doesn't pray. Die-minded. You say, well, tomorrow, we're going to come and clean the church. He says, you want the whole place clean? I'll hire some people for us. There's no need. How much do they take? 100,000 per hour. I'll do it. No, come and clean. It's not money. The art of cleaning itself is training and spiritual growth. Are you there? High-minded. You start to talk. You know, and your steps will change. If you have never changed your step for money before, you've never had money. I've done it before. You just, maybe just 100,000. You used to work like this before. 100,000! You start to walk in the spirit. Yeah. You now enter church. The usher says, please, can you sit there? He says, young man. I understand. I'm more comfortable here. What do you do for a living? And not in this church anyway. The usher says, I'm just a fresh graduate. I'm just doing my youth service. Okay. You see my card. Service is going on. Guy says, managing director, so and so and so, United States. Sir, go and sit near the pastor. High-minded. But when you see a Christian walking in the world, he is a billionaire, you will not know it. He will walk in the works department, he will be with them in the generator, he will be there fixing light, because he has money, money doesn't have it. That is spiritual. Not high-minded. Not high-minded.
is not proud. He doesn't make boasts of life. So we ask you, as we close, is this spiritual? Amen. Watch yourself. The same, you know, the way you feel hot. It's, I'm feeling hot. There's a power of God is working on me. I'm healed. You can check your spiritual health. How did you respond in the office? What did you say? There was a dispute in your school, in your home. How did you react? How do you respond? What kind of words? If you record your words during the day, would you like to hear it? You have a Walkman. What do you MP4, right? Put it there. Then you record everything you said throughout the day. Then you play it to yourself. Maybe you start doing that. The jokes, the things you said off camera. Some things you said when you knew that church members are not there. You look around. No born again. Nothing is born again. Not again. Let me manifest. Or manifest. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, when you watch your words, you now tell yourself, am I growing? Amen. Amen. See, I commit myself to grow spiritually. To not be a hearer of the word only, but to be a doer of the word. I glorify Jesus. Amen. You're blessed this morning. Stand to your feet. Let's lift our hands and bless God. Give Him praise.